Hi there. You are listening to the Praying Christian Women podcast. I am Alana here with Jamie. How are you, dare I ask?
I am Jamie, and you can ask. I am great. I other than my hair, like if you're watching the YouTube, my hair is still mostly wet. This is how I'm rolling today, if that gives you any idea of my status at the moment, but I am very excited to be here. This is one of my favorite things to do, so I'm excited.
I am too, and I love our topic. For
Me
today, we're talking
too.
about mom guilt and prayer. You absolutely don't have to be a mom to experience mom guilt. I don't think you even necessarily need to be a woman to experience mom guilt, but it's just that overwhelming sense of I am not doing enough. It impacts our life, it impacts our prayers. We experience mom guilt in our prayers. So I'm just going to open with the disclaimer. When I talk about mom guilt, this is all inclusive to any Christian who feels like they aren't measuring up to what God or the church or society or your own high standards kind of you require of you, or at least you feel require of you. So virtually, this is for everybody.
Yeah, can I give another facet to that that I experience
Yes.
too is podcast guilt. Like I feel like this podcast is kind of like my baby in a way, like it's our collective baby. I mean, that's a little weird, but you know what I'm
Does that make
saying?
you my baby co-host?
Yeah, that's right. I'm not the baby mama, I'm the baby co-host. But yeah, it's like this is I love this endeavor. And yes, it's God's first, but it is also ours and it is something that my heart is tied into. And so I have podcast guilt right now because I have been working outside the home, which has taken me away from it for a season. We have moving stuff. And did I already tell people we're moving? Did I?
We've already
I have.
recorded
Okay.
episodes about it, but
That's right.
based on the time this is airing, probably not. So, hi, surprise, Jamie's moving.
Surprise. Yeah. So, yeah, we're moving out of the state of Alaska, into the state of confusion. No.
Right.
But
Well,
I.
stay tuned for a future episode that we recorded in the past to learn all about it.
Right. So, yeah, but anyway, I definitely am feeling mom guilt about the podcast. I feel like I'm neglecting my baby in a way, and I'm sure that others out there, whether you're a biological mom or whether you even like kids or have kids in your life at all, you have a baby in your life and you've got mom guilt, and prayer can actually really play a big role in overcoming that, and it can also be hindered by that. So we're going to talk about that
It
today.
can, yeah. And then you can add prayer guilt on top of that. Oh, I haven't been praying
Yes.
for this person as much as I should have been.
Yes,
So
absolutely.
why don't you start us off with the verse of the day? But I'm so excited that we get to dive into this. I think it's so important.
Me too. So our verse of the day is 2 Corinthians 12:9, and this is like I say this all the time, especially when it comes to mom guilt. But he said to me, meaning God, and I'm going to say that there is a part before this. I don't remember if it's 8 through 10, but it's, Paul saying, I have this thorn in my flesh. We never know exactly what it is. We suspect it's a physical thing because it's flesh, but he's got a thorn. And he asked God 3 times to deliver him from this thing that's plaguing him. And obviously, and God said to me, he said, no, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And I love this because it's something when I get into the wallow, which I'm so good at, and I'm just like, woe is me, I'm just a worm.
But a very cute worm. I would still co-host with you if you were a worm.
I'm Slimy from Sesame Street. Remember him, Oscar the
I
Grouch's sidekick?
barely remember
He's a
him. I
worm
don't.
puppet and he's
Yeah.
adorable. He's adorable.
Really?
I want to be slimy if I've got to be a worm.
Aww.
Yeah. But he will both. Yeah. So basically, like, okay, I can embrace my weakness and my lack because of God's enoughness. And so I do rest in this because I think, okay, God put me as a mom of my kids, as a co-host of this podcast, as whatever fill in the blank for a reason. He knew my limitations. He knows my borderline ADHD, maybe undiagnosed and need of medication. He knows all of that. And yet he put me here because of who I am and not just because of my strengths, which is something that I definitely need to meditate on too. We'll get into that later. But also because of my weaknesses, because he knew that if I had every single thing down and I was just killing it, that I would forget him and I would really think that it was all about me. So I'm going to boast about my weaknesses, not in like a self-deprecating way or in a wallowing, like get sorry for yourself way, but I'm going to just say, hey, you know what? I don't have it all together. I'm not doing everything perfectly in this parenting journey, but I know that God is enough for my kid because he loves the kid more than I do. And yeah, and I'm sure there's a line there of not making excuses for not striving to be better. But for me, I tend to err more on the wallow thing and the like spiraling into despair and needing to say, okay, but God has this and I want to get better and I'm going to try my best and I'm going to, do what I can, but God's got the rest.
Well, and I'm already feeling like maybe we should even introduce this as like the first part of what could turn into a mini series, because
That's true.
all of this impacts our lives, our spiritual walks, our relationships with other women, right? If you're experiencing a ton of this mom guilt, which we really need a better name, but this, just overwhelming guilt. If I feel inadequate, as a pretty person or as a homemaker or as a parent, and I go to your house and it looks like you've got it all together, I'm going to assume.
Scoff,
But do
guffaw.
you get what I'm saying? Like, if we think that everybody else is doing it better than we are,
Right.
that impairs our relationships too. And then we feel like we've got to, it's, like women should not be in competition with other women. And I feel like this is me getting on my my soapbox against the patriarchy is basically, I feel like there are some powers that be that would love to see women, including, including the devil himself, that would love to see women bickering with other women so that we're not serving our churches and our families and our husbands and our world. And we're not trying to, I'm not trying to improve your lot. I'm trying to prove to you that my lot's better than yours. And if the devil can keep us in that spot, then, we're just going to be, little schoolgirls, jibber jabbering against each other on the playground.
Yeah, well, it's the classic ring of power from Lord of the Rings scene where they come together and they start off with this common goal and they just get so caught up in bickering with each other, and then, the camera zooms in on the ring and it's almost like the ring is just like, yeah, I gotcha. It's what the devil does, and it's what we do in our own sinful nature is we have, adventures in missing the point where we just,
I love
try,
that.
yeah, we try.
It's just the name of our memoir.
Yes. Has that name been taken? I love it. Yeah.
No, I feel like this is so critically important. It impacts every single woman. So instead of a just for fun question, I have prepared for you a just for fun script. I'm going to read you something, and it's going to sound really silly to people who have not seen the source material. And maybe even if you have, I'm going to read to you part of the script from the Barbie movie. Have you seen it?
Yes, I
Do you know
have.
what scene I'm talking about?
I think so.
Okay, I'm just going to read a little bit of this. This is not, praying Christian women condoning everything in this movie, but I think that there are some, at the
Yeah,
very
I
least,
know
we
what you're
talk
gonna read.
about, we talk about there being anything, a secular song, a Broadway musical, a piece of art from 500 years ago. These can all be springboards for prayer and conversation. So this is a monologue that one of the non-Barbie, like a human mom, tells her daughter. She says, "It's literally impossible to be a woman. You are so beautiful and so smart, and it kills me that you don't think you're good enough. Like, we always have to be extraordinary, but somehow we're always doing it wrong. You have to be thin, but not too thin. And you can never say you want to be thin. You have to say you want to be healthy, but you also have to be thin. You have to have money, but you can't ask for money because that's crass. You have to be a boss, but you can't be mean. You have to lead, but you can't squash other people's ideas. You're supposed to love being a mom, but don't talk about your kids all the time. You have to be a career woman, but also looking out for other people. And it goes on. And I think that we can extrapolate this to, like if I were writing this monologue about a Christian mom talking to her Christian daughter about this, I think there's tons that we could add. You've got to be submissive, but you can't let men walk all over you. You've got to stand up for yourself, but you can't be rude, right? You have to be filled with the spirit, but you can't be intimidating, right? Like don't be more spiritual than your brother over there. It's very, very hard. What I find is that the moment we realize that we as Christian women's are holding ourselves to and each other to impossible standards, that is what allows us to break out of the confines of this sort of guilt.
Yeah, no, that is so powerful. That I did tear up at that
I did
monologue,
too. I did too.
because it was, it was very, very truthful, and it is true. And I agree that like we, it starts with us. Like many points of change, women might believe that, but point fingers. It's just like anything else. You point fingers at other people for perpetuating that when honestly, it starts with me. I do that. And it starts with us individually and as women, not holding each other to those standards that we don't want to be held to. Because, yeah.
I heard a really good piece of advice, and that is if you find yourself being really judgy to a certain type of person or about a certain behavior, that it's probably some type of what's that psychological term where I like transfer my
Yeah.
it's I you know what I'm talking about, but I can't
I know
think of the word.
exactly
It's
what you
I think it
mean.
starts with a P, and
Yeah.
everybody listening knows exactly what I mean. But it's
I do.
I'm
Yeah.
assuming that you've got the same hangups I do, right? So the classic example is if I'm a cheating spouse, I'm going to become suspicious of my spouse.
Right.
That's the psychological thing we're talking about, but we do that in judging other people. If I look down my nose at women who don't dress a certain way, or maybe let's just rattle off some of the big ones. Homeschool versus public school, that can be a big kind of combat zone. Nutrition, right? Like we eat processed food, we eat whole food. What are some of the other big camps that you see, the sort of divisive camps around that can divide Christian women?
I would say like movies, the kinds of movies that you let your kids consume, or books, like there are certain big ticket items that it's like, oh, your kid has read that series. Ew.
Right. You guys read Harry Potter,
Right. Harry Potter's a big one. And just screen time in general and allowing your kids to have access to certain kinds of technology.
And then in society as a whole, not necessarily from the church, we get things like body size for sure. We get career woman versus stay at home versus I have to work. We get even some like class divisions, right? Like, I'm looking down my nose at you because I feel like I'm from like a higher class of society, or you're jealous of me and assume that I'm a terrible person because you just think that, so there's so many types of areas where we can get divided about this. And so going back to listener homework would be think about where you tend to be kind of judgy of people and see if there's a like a category. Does it all seem to revolve around someone's parenting choices? Does it revolve around their work choices? Does it revolve around their spiritual lives? Right. And do I'm not saying this in every single case. I'm not saying that every single time, like sometimes we're judgy just because we're judgy. Or sometimes, right, we kind of inherit it or we learn it from our family or from our culture. But sometimes I think it is something internal going on. So if I tend to always be looking down my nose at people's food choices, it's possible that I am insecure about my own food choices, or it's possible that I'm even overcompensating, right? I feel like a miserable person in every single area of my life, but I'm actually pretty good at, keeping my kitchen clean as a hypothetical. So if I look down at every other woman who can't keep her kitchen clean, then I feel like I have something going for me, right? So I would say start with that. Not to put you on the spot, but can you picture any areas where, like, you, in the past, you've noticed that you have been more judgy than in other areas?
Oh man, let me think.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Were you the kind of
Oh, I can think of
the
one.
okay.
I can think of one. Church. So in church, because I was the coordinator for children's ministry, I would get kind of judgy about people who didn't help in children's ministry when they had kids in children's ministry. Because to me, it was like, I put it out there, at least serve once a month or once a quarter just to be in there. You don't have to do special training, yada, yada, yada. And it was just so hard to find people. And I was there all the time. And so I definitely had that in my head. And the ironic thing is, I go to church now and I have never served in children's ministry. And I have sent my kids there, the church that we're in right now. And I have major guilt about that because, and examining myself, looking back and then looking now, like I'm the person, and I assume that other people are now looking at me like, she's been going here for like over a year and she has never once gone into children's ministry, and she had, two kids at one time in children's ministry and yada yada yada, whatever. I have my own reasons and boundaries for the reasons why I'm not doing that at this moment. They don't know those reasons. I didn't know the reasons for the people that weren't doing that. And frankly, I don't want people, I've come to maturity in that area now where I'm like, I know that there are people who their gifting isn't children's ministry, and they would be miserable being in children's ministry. So, I've come a long way there. But when I examine myself, I do think that that was an area where I could put the time in and I could be there as the warm body there, and it was fine for me. And so that was safe for me. And I could feel good about that. And I do think that it was a compensating for other areas where I was not thriving or didn't think I was a good enough mom or a good enough Christian or a good enough whatever. And I do think that unconsciously or subconsciously, I was using that as, look, I can do, put a job in front of me. I can be there and I can fill that spot and I can do it cheerfully. And so I would use that, I think, as a way to feel good about myself. Okay, does that make
And I
sense?
think
Is that I hope
absolutely.
people don't think I'm a terrible person because I do feel horrible about it looking back, but I'm just being
As you should, but I mean, we're being honest with ourselves
honest.
right now. No. Yeah, there are times, there are seasons. So no, I wouldn't feel guilty. And honestly, I doubt many people are even thinking about, you specifically and wondering why you're not doing this, kids ministry. So, I know for me, I was the kind of mom who, like, by the time my kid was 6 weeks old, thought, it's kind of like the person who's never had kids who says, like, well, I'm never gonna let my kid have a, a tablet or something. And I know for me, my youngest is 14. Like, we missed the tablet stage by just a couple years, but I'm sure that I could have been one of those moms who, would have been like, my kid's never going to do this. And then your kid gets to that age and you're like, oh, okay, actually, yeah, that makes sense. Like 15, 20 years ago, if you told me that like we would buy a cell phone for a 12-year-old, I would have been like, well, that's ridiculous and stupid. And I think he got his at like 10 or 11 because he was running around the entire town with his friends all summer. And it turned into like an actual safety issue. So we had our reasons for it. I was influenced a ton when our oldest was a newborn by a friend of ours who didn't have any kids of our own. But for some reason, I looked to her as an expert because she read all the
Oh,
magazines
I
and
love the people. Oh, I love those experts. I know those experts.
my friend that I talk about all the time on the show, she has four kids. And by the time we met them, her youngest was in our youth group. I think her youngest two were in our youth group. By the time we met her youngest son, he was like 16. He was smart. He was fun. We liked him. But apparently, he was a really hard kid, like a very, very, very hard kid. And what my friend said, and I love just her honesty. She said, yeah, if God had just given us our first three, we would have just assumed that we were perfect parents, and we would sometimes, not that they would ever say it, but they would look at other families and be like, well, it's not that hard. Just do this and your kids are going to be like respectful and fine. And, and then God throws them this curveball. And so she talked about how, having a very, very, just if I don't even know what his issues were. I think it was
Like
just
maybe a
like
strong-willed child,
strong-willed,
maybe.
defiant, super distractible, no impulse control, right? Like that kind of thing. And he's great now. He's a young adult, he's married, he's very mature.
And now he's
But
his wife's problem. No, I'm just kidding.
right.
Just kidding.
No, but I love what she said. She said, yeah, if we had only had those three, we really would have looked at other parents and been like, well, it's not that hard. Like, sure, it takes some work, but if you just do A, B, and C, then your kids turn out like this. And that to me, it feels like what happened with Silas and all his medical issues, right? Because like all of that got thrown out the window. Like my kid's never going to watch TV. My kid's never going to eat processed foods. Like we were living in a hospital for 6 weeks
Right.
and then in and out of a hospital for a couple years. So his older brother, yeah, he watched a lot of Sesame Street and he ate cafeteria food exclusively. And that's how we had to survive. And so I had to learn to let go of that as what I would have held on to. Otherwise, I would have held on to that forever, as kind of my stake, right? So we all have these issues,
But you know what
right?
I'm going to go a step further and I'm going to call them idols. Because I think for me, service was an idol. And God, I mean, I've told my Egg McMuffin story many times where I just was like, looking, in a new place, we had just moved to Alaska, no church at that point, we're church shopping, no friends, no responsibilities. Drop one of my kids off to school. I've got the other one with me and we're driving around town and I'm like, I need some. I had this void where my idol of service had been taken away. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get this Egg McMuffin and take it to a homeless person that needs it or someone that's hungry. And there was none to be found. And I was sitting there just despairing the fact that I didn't have a job to do and God wouldn't give me one, even though I knew there had to be someone out there that could use this Egg McMuffin. And so but I look back on that as a teachable moment of God saying, I don't need that Egg McMuffin. I don't need your service. I need you and your heart to be undivided toward me and what I have for you at this moment to do in your life, which at the time was just be a mom, raise my kids, take care of my family. And that had to be enough. But for me at that time, and honestly, sometimes still, it's not enough. I have this inner need to fight against idolatry of working my way to approval from whoever.
No, I like it's hard hitting, but these are idols. So for me, it was kind of having the picture perfect family in terms of like my toddler is going to be perfectly well behaved. He's going to be, reading early. And I mean, you met me when I was doing flashcards with a, what, 3-year-old?
Oh,
So
yeah. Well, and I
I
remember I had not homeschooled at that time, but I had known a lot of homeschool moms. And so when I met you and you were in the lobby area and you guys, your kid doesn't have a device, you're not like sitting there, doing your own, like you're engaging with your kids playing this, like, yeah, like you said, I think it was headbands or something, or, and then
Maybe,
and you were doing flashcards, like educational flashcards. And I was like, are you a homeschool mom? 'Cause I was
That's
like,
the
I
very
knew
first
it.
words you ever spoke to me. I don't have a single other person in my life where I remember the first words they spoke to me, but I remember yours.
That's funny. And I didn't mean it in an insulting way. I very
Didn't
much
come across that way,
I
yeah.
admired the homeschool like philosophy and ended up attempting homeschool. And I will not say attempting. I actually homeschooled for a few
Yeah.
years with different kids. But I definitely remember that. And yeah, def you were you your kids were and are exceptional.
Yeah, but it can become a badge. It can become an idol. There were certain areas I absolutely pushed them too hard. So yeah, I feel like we've all got, even if it's not the same area, right? Like not every woman has body image issues, for example, but every woman feels inadequate in at least some aspects of our life. I think the homeschool community is a really good kind of ecosystem that shows that, in terms of there really is a pretty large hierarchy or like status structure regarding the type of homeschool family you are, right? So you've got like at the peak, you've got the homeschool family where you've probably got lots of kids, right? Like significantly more children than average. You might even be into like the girls only wear the dresses and, like very traditional, kind of old-fashioned styles. Very limited online learning. It's all like books, hands-on. The mom definitely doesn't have any other outside job. The dad definitely works outside of the home. You've got that on one side of the spectrum. On the opposite side of the spectrum, you have almost what our homeschooling looks like at the moment. So our youngest has is finishing his first year at public school in 8th grade and loving it. And my two older sons are both high schoolers who are still doing homeschool, but everything they do is entirely online. And like if you were to ask me what classes they were enrolled in, I could tell you, yeah, I know they're both doing math. Right? Like that's kind of the extent. And I'm doing my stuff. I'm working. And I'm, they're home alone some days if I'm gone. So it's very, very hands off, right? And it's all screen based, right? So
Oh no, gasp.
but so there's this whole extreme, and no matter where you fall on that spectrum as a homeschooler, you're always going to be looking to the people that you consider to be higher than you on that spectrum. I mean, like, I wish I could be like them. And you know what happened? So we started off by talking about how freeing it is when you realize that no, you're never going to measure up to everybody's standards. You're always going to feel like you're not doing well enough. I remember the day I realized that, and it was actually at a homeschool co-op, and it was designed in a really cool way. There was a morning class, a lunch break, and an afternoon class. And all the moms would sign up to teach one class or to be an assistant in one class. We'd all have lunch. It was like bring your own sack lunch. And then during the hour where your kids were in their second class, but you weren't teaching or helping, there was like a mom's lounge. It was very, very cool setup. And so, maybe about a dozen of us just sitting and talking. And there was a mom who was older than I was. Our kids were all like elementary age or younger by this point. And she was like at the far end of the spectrum, right? Large family, very intellectually. She reminds me some of your friend who was a mutual friend who like her kids are doing college by, ninth grade. You know what I mean? Like that sort of feel. Into sports, like healthy, active, attractive family. I just had in my mind her house has got to be big and gorgeous, right? Like you
And
can picture,
clean.
you can picture who I imagined her as, right?
Yes.
And she said something, and she said, on any given day, like if I have seven or eight things that I want to get done to consider it like a good productive day in our homeschool schedule, in a given semester, I probably have two good days, right? Like there are very few days where we do every single thing that we like, if we're supposed to do math, science, history, like all the things, plus get outside time and exercise, plus have like devotions, like all of that. And that was the moment where I felt that like glass cage just disappear. And it was, oh, even this person that I kind of pictured as like the homeschool mom who had it all doesn't feel like she's measuring up. Okay, so if that's the case, none of us are ever going to feel like we measure up. So I guess we're all good enough.
Yeah, and that is, and that's why it's so important. And that's why it starts with us being honest about our struggles and not allowing ourselves to be. I think that's one thing also. Don't allow yourself, because of your fear of not measuring up, be someone that discourages someone else because they think you're perfect, because that's all you put out there, because you're not ever honest. Does that make sense? I mean, not that we have to take that on as a responsibility too, but just be real and, just don't be afraid. I don't know. Believe that not that nobody feels like they're nailing it, and let that give you the freedom to be the one, to be that woman that's sitting in the lounge talking to another person saying, yeah, I don't have it all together and it's okay. None of us do.
On the other hand, let's also normalize, like, I think sometimes we can almost err on the opposite extreme. We will all get together and talk about how overwhelming it is to be a mom, for example. That can be so discouraging. My bridal shower. So it was at Scott's church, and I started going to the women's Bible study because I only lived in that community about 6 weeks before we got married. But they all kind of adopted me in. The pastor's wife is who I based Sandy from the Kennedy novels off of. But this Bible study was full of women who were over twice my age. Most of them were empty nesters by then. And it was an urban setting. It didn't have that suburban feeling about like, we're all picture perfect moms. Like a lot of them came from hard lives, several were divorced, so it didn't have what we have is like it wasn't like the women in my mom's co-op where I just felt like I would never measure up to anybody's standards. It was very nice in terms of, yeah, we air our dirty laundry and we're open. But on the other hand, at my bridal shower, it basically turned into, oh, marriage is so hard. Okay, you're gonna have this honeymoon period. Like, just try to enjoy it, because honey, it's not gonna last. Like, and Sandy
Thank
even came to
you.
me. Sandy was appalled, and she came and even apologized to me. Then I'm like, no, it was fine. And it is good to temper things. But sometimes we can go in the opposite extreme too, right? If we feel like I'm bonding with you because we're just complaining about how hard it is to be a mom, or how hard it is to be married, or how hard it is to how many coworkers is basically like our friendship is 90% based off of complaining about our boss, right?
Right.
And so sometimes it almost like I think most of us are going to err on what you were saying about feeling like everybody else has it so good and we're never going to measure up. But I think we also in certain settings needs to be careful that we're not making it like that everything is so bad that we're going to, I mean, imagine if that was your baby shower for your first baby and everybody was three or four kids in telling you how awful it was going to be. Like, that's kind of
That's
terrible and
scary.
overwhelming.
Yeah, no, that's a good thing to keep in mind, is to kind of balance that sharing with, and it's okay, because what's the real goal here? Our goal is to love our kids. Our goal, enjoy your kids. Don't get caught up in the little things. And because this is what all of this does, all of these guilt factors paralyze us. They take up our time. They distract us from the point. They distract us from the thing that we're called to, which is being a mom or producing a podcast and enjoying it and glorifying God through it, or whatever your baby is. You know, it's distracting you from the joy, because you're spending all this time. I'm going to liken it to, you know, however you feel about it, standardized tests in schools, and the fact that teachers complain that they get so caught up in trying to teach to the standardized test that they lose the joy of teaching, because they've got to cram these certain things in to teach to the test instead of being able to creatively teach their kids things that they love teaching. And so I'm not, you know, that is not a commentary on how I believe about standardized tests. I realize they're necessary and learning that stuff is important. So, but I'm just saying,
burn her. No, I'm joking.
The trolls will be trolling. Anyway. Yeah.
No, there are so many areas where we can get judgy against others, or we get insecure about ourselves. And I would say, so much freedom comes when you recognize that you're never going to feel like you're doing everything, right? So my example, I use it all the time. If you're doing the dishes, you're not doing the laundry. If you're doing the laundry, you're not with your husband. If you're with your husband, you're not with your work, right? You're never going to, like, whenever you're focused on one thing, that by necessity means you're not focused on something else. And so whatever you do, do it with all your heart. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. You are never going to be enough on your own, and that is okay. I'm wrestling right now with just some of my physical limitations. Like, I've always been a pretty healthy person, and like, depression has really been my only major health kind of concern. But the fact that I get sick, like, anytime I get stressed, or anytime I'm out of the house, and that's not really as much of an exaggeration as a lot of people probably like assume it is. I realize there are certain things that I would love to do that I probably shouldn't, right? So, like, I've been asked to do more substitute teaching. I've enjoyed being in the classroom, but it takes so much out of me that it's not something I can do more than, you know, a handful of times a month, probably. So much love and blessings to all the teachers and subs out there. Like, I'm just floored and amazed at what you. So please keep teachers in your prayer. You don't have to be a mom to experience what we're calling mom guilt. And but speaking of moms, happy Mother's Day. And please also remember, like, it's a complicated holiday for some people. And so whatever your situation is, we are sending you just love. We have a Mother's Day bundle, the Praying Christian Women's Mother's Day bundle. We'll put a link to that. It's got several resources, including Jamie's never before published 30 Days of Praying for Your Children. It's got some of my novels in there. It's got a few other things. So we'll put the link in there. And I hope that we can keep on this discussion about guilt and how it impacts our prayers and this feeling of inadequacy. Comparison and how that impacts, you know, if you think that everybody else is praying better than you are, it can turn into, well, why should I even bother? Right. So I love that we're getting to explore this topic, and I figure we just, like, scratched the surface today.
We did. Like, we'll definitely have some follow-ups, you know, in the upcoming weeks.
Love to do that. So I feel like it sounds kind of depressing, but it's like, be encouraged. You're never going to do it all, right? Like, it sounds backwards, but no, you're never going to feel like you're enough. So but that's the good news.
It is, because back to the verse that we talked about, because if we didn't have these shortcomings, we wouldn't remember God. And so you can turn to God in those things and say, God, make me better in this area. But also, thank you for, you know, it I think launches us to pray for our kids too. When we feel like we can't give them everything we want to give them, it's like, God, give them that thing, help them in whatever way. I mean, I just remember that God is our partner in this. And so prayer is really the backbone of being a parent or a podcast co-host.
Or just a woman, or a Christian,
Yeah.
or a human being,
Or a man.
or a sentient entity.
That's right. We're
All
talking to
right.
you, Alexa. Oh, never
Oh
mind.
no. Oh no. Sorry, everybody's device just turned on.
Oh,
All right.
shoot.
Well, let's end with our blessing and benediction. May your heart rejoice today, though you might be suffering grief and all sorts of trials. In the midst of your testing, may your spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the day of Christ's return. May his hope sustain you through whatever valleys you journey through. May he turn all your darkness into light and clothe you with robes of rejoicing instead of a spirit of despair.
Amen. Our benediction is from 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Amen, amen, amen.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Praying Christian Women podcast. We'd love to hear from you, so please leave us a comment to let us know what questions or topics we can address in future shows. Then hop over to prayingchristianwomen.com/journal to download your free prayer guide. We're so glad you joined us for today's show, and we wish you God's deepest blessings as you draw closer to Him and change the world one prayer at a time.